Why has Triple H been so successful? Why is Triple H running WWE better than Vince McMahon and Bruce Prichard on Monday and Friday night? Long-term booking. Thank you so very much for joining me right here on Off the Script. This is your Friday Night SmackDown post show for May 10th, 2024. I am your host, JD from New York, as always, coming to you live from the OTS venue. Thank you guys so very much for joining me on this Friday evening, wherever you may be. Before we get into the SmackDown coverage tonight, where we saw King and Queen of the Ring, SmackDown's side of the tournament, take place. And we had Cody Rhodes and Logan Paul made official for the pay-per-view in 3 weeks in Saudi Arabia. I want to get to some important business first and foremost. I pinned a comment at the top of the live stream chat. So if you guys want to go hit that for me and click that, see what that's about. It's very important to me and some very special people in my life. This goes out to Jay and Ben, two of my guys, personal friends of mine. I've known them for most of my YouTube career. Jay, better known as Buff Llama on social media and on YouTube. Got started with him in the Call of Duty space. Have been friends ever since. Through Llama, I met his brother Ben. And we've been friends ever since. The two guys have been in my life through the darkest of times. And Jay knows that through one of the hardest things I ever had to do in my entire life, it was a time where I was incredibly down on myself. I was going through massive depression and a breakup at the time. He was there to actually help me get through it all, on the phone with me, had his phone on anytime I needed someone to talk to. He was just there. And him and Ben are actually the two people outside my guys in Massachusetts, my guy Drew and Tom, both of my guys out there. Jay and Ben are the only two people that I've ever met away from social media and YouTube. So the people that I've actually met that I befriended first online, the group is very small. Family's going through a difficult time right now. And I pinned a GoFundMe account, a GoFundMe page at the top of the live stream chat. Jay and Ben's mother was just put into hospice. And she doesn't have much time with us left. And it's a very difficult situation on the family. So I pinned the GoFundMe just in case you guys wanted to read it. Just in case you guys wanted to read their story, you guys can go follow Buff Llama on social media, on Twitter. He's a big Chicago Bears fan. Always tweeting about football. Big pro wrestling guy as well. If you guys can share that around or donate or help out in any which way that you can, I would really appreciate it. The family would really appreciate it. Right now, they have a goal of $12,000, and they are very much on their way there. They got nearly $7,500 in donations. So if you guys can help out in any way that you can, I would really, really appreciate it. They're two very important people to me. And my thoughts, my love, my prayers, and everybody here that's a part of the OTS family, collectively, we're sending them everybody's prayers, everybody's love, sending all of that to both of them and their families. So I just wanted to make sure you guys are aware of that. So please make sure you do what you can there. If not, a simple message really does go a long way. Jay, Ben, we love you guys, man. I love you guys. And if you need anything, obviously, you guys know I am always here. SmackDown. I, for the most part, enjoyed SmackDown tonight. There were things I liked about the show. There were things I did not like about the show. There were things I'm concerned with coming out of the show. A lot of emotions coming out of the show. The first thing I want to tackle is Cody Rhodes. What do I always tell you guys? Creative is king. Creative is king. If you don't have it, I don't know where the fuck you're going. If you don't have it, nothing is important. Just go ask Tony Khan that. Go ask AEW that. Oh, they got stories. Yeah, they do. None of them are really particularly good. And now it's WWE's turn. For all the people that tell me, oh, JD is a Triple H shill. He got the paycheck from Stamford, Connecticut. Now I'm going to complain about something that WWE did wrong. You see how it works. It's not always, let's pin the bad on AEW. WWE tends to fuck up every now and then as well. They're just doing it a little bit less than AEW nowadays because Vince is not there. Cody Rhodes and Logan Paul is official for King and Queen of the Ring in Saudi Arabia. It will be the WWE title versus the United States title. Both titles are on the line. I'm assuming if Cody wins, he's the United States champion. If Logan Paul wins, I'm assuming he's the WWE champion. Someone will be holding two belts at the end of the pay-per-view. Nick Aldis was out in the ring. Cody Rhodes comes out, shakes Nick Aldis' hand, and we get Nick Aldis saying, Cody, your next challenger has been chosen. As if we're playing fucking Street Fighter, as if we're playing Mortal Kombat, and Cody's moving up the fucking ladder all the way to Shang Tsung. There was a report. If I could find it, there was a report from Dave Meltzer with the title, WWE currently has no big time direction for Cody Rhodes. In the latest Observer newsletter, Dave Meltzer reported that while Cody Rhodes does have future feuds with Roman Reigns and The Rock lined up, nothing big is planned for the next few months. Meltzer says Rhodes has no real big time direction until Rock and Roman Reigns are back in the picture. The other biggest star on the brand is Randy Orton, but they're doing nothing to tease anything in that direction at the moment. So it looks like Uncle Dave, looks like Big Dave was correct in his reporting. Will he get the credit for that? No. Because everybody tends to think that Dave Meltzer gets everybody or everything wrong. Meanwhile, he's got one needle in a haystack moment every now and then. Clearly, this is Cody not having any big-time direction. I don't give a shit who Logan Paul is. I don't give a shit what you think of Logan Paul. I don't care if it's Saudi. WWE is basically taking Cody Rhodes out of WrestleMania and putting him in a match against AJ Styles. Yes, it ended up getting 5 stars from the Observer. Great. It was a great match. It was a great match for a B-level pay-per-view in France, where everybody ended up talking about the crowd reactions more than anything else on the show. WWE was very fortunate that France was the home of Backlash. And here I was thinking that, all right, AJ is a great opponent. Clearly he was. It was a great match. Let's get a match out of it again going into the King and Queen of the Ring. Let's get two matches out of it. Makes sense. Why waste somebody else as an opponent when you got someone in AJ who you could maybe develop a story with over the next 3 weeks that you didn't do going into Backlash? If you're passionate about sports and looking for a thrill, you need to check out the freshly redesigned XBet. They're calling it the last sportsbook you'll ever join. I've been playing on XBet, and they really do have it all. Whether it's odds on basketball, combat sports, or even betting on the next Bitcoin dip. And the best part is, when you win, you get paid quick. But it's not just about placing bets. XBet is a whole new experience. They support athletes and sports shows just like ours, and they give back to the community with tons of free bets and cash prize contests. Did I mention that they also have a casino now? Spin the slots, play some roulette, or try your luck at the live tables, all from a mobile platform that lets you enjoy the fun on the go. Whether you're super into sports betting or just curious about trying it out, you need a site that makes it fun and easy, and that's why you've got to check out XBet. Sign up today using promo code SCRIPT and get a generous bonus of up to $1,000 on your first deposit. That's right, promo code SCRIPT for a free cash bonus to kickstart your betting journey. With so many great UFC cards on the horizon and the baseball season in full swing, there's never a better time to play. Make your next bet XBet. Nah, they didn't do that because it's too much work for WWE Creative to come up with a story, no matter how simple it is, for AJ and Cody Rhodes. Continuity. They couldn't be bothered with it. So what do they do? Because it's Saudi Arabia, and WWE is receiving hand over fist more money than anything for this fucking deal with Saudi Arabia. And they basically book the show. They go the simple and formulaic route of, yeah, we'll put our big name guy, Cody, in there with Logan Paul. All right, guys, what's actually the story? What's the story there? There is none. I don't give a shit who you ask. There is no story. They have no prior history. There is no story. And Logan Paul lost his last match. Actually, no, he didn't. He didn't lose. No, he's still the United States champion. I'm sorry. He didn't really beat anybody in a singles capacity. He beat Randy Orton and Kevin Owens. I guess by default, that means he's the number one contender. But he's the United States champion. He should be conducting United States championship business, not WWE championship business. There is no story. Cody has no story. You're basically fabricating something because Saudi. Now, Cody can put on banger after banger after banger, but I'm here to tell you that Cody basically is taking the same route that Vince McMahon gave Cody Rhodes. After WrestleMania 39, where he lost to Roman Reigns, he embarked on a four-month feud with Brock Lesnar that still to this day didn't have a fucking explanation as to why it was happening. And now coming out of WrestleMania 40, you're basically doing the same thing with him, but this time he's the WWE champion, which only amplifies how much more worse it is. Yeah, we'll put the belt on him, we'll put the strap on him, we'll put the fucking title on him, and got no plan for him. If you think AJ is a plan, you're a fucking idiot. If you think Logan Paul is a plan, you're a fucking idiot. There is no plan. It's WWE booking by the seat of their fucking pants. It's basically Triple H taking the Tony Khan playbook and utilizing that over the last 3, 4, 5 weeks. It's basically what he's doing. Now, on the flip side, is it going to be a great match? Sure it is, because Cody Rhodes is a great wrestler. Logan Paul is an entertaining wrestler. I'm sure they'll put on a banger worthy of a main event. But my question is, what do we do with Cody going into Clash of the Castle? Is it going to be another random opponent? What are we going to do with Cody Rhodes going into Money in the Bank? Is it going to be another random opponent? Like, I get we don't have Rock and Roman right now. But the first thing that you should have been doing, if you knew Cody Rhodes was going to win the WWE Championship at WrestleMania, the first thing in your mind should have been, all right, somebody on that team should have been in charge of scripting out and planning out what he does after WrestleMania. Clearly, that part of the creative team was not given orders to do so. The number one thing that Cody should have been doing coming out of WrestleMania, or at least WWE Creative coming out of WrestleMania should have been doing, was coming up with a fucking plan for Cody Rhodes. A story for Cody Rhodes that is going to carry us through the summer. They clearly don't have that. So now here we are with random matches and no real story with one of the best storytellers in all of WWE. It's quite coincidental that we got his fucking catchphrase or his tagline was finish the story going into WrestleMania. Now we got no fucking story going into WrestleMania. There's no sequel to the story being penned. It's already in the fucking bargain basement bin on sale at Barnes & Noble for $1.99. Nobody wants the fucking book. We don't have a fucking problem here. You can sit there and fucking, oh, it's going to be a great match. Oh, it's going to be a banger match. Oh, it's Saudi. It's just business. Blah, 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 blah. I don't look at it that way. You got no fucking creative. Zero. Yet you want me to care about a match that I don't have any story in. How much of you honestly cared, legitimately cared about AJ Styles and Cody Rhodes? Sure, it's a great match. I think we are all at an age. I'm in my profession a lot of years. I know a good match from a bad match. But I think all of us can say our interest levels in that match at Backlash were not nearly as high as they could have been if there was a story involved. Two Bullet Club members, ex-Bullet Club members, I should say. They got that revolving around their history. First time ever meeting in the ring. No story. I would have loved to see that going into Saudi. No, but we got AJ in the King of the Ring tournament where he was inevitably going to lose to Randy Orton. Some creative there. All I'm saying is I want some fucking story. You got one of the best storytellers in all of pro wrestling in Cody Rhodes. And now you have two pay-per-views under your belt coming out of WrestleMania, two opponents for Cody Rhodes, and neither one of them have a story to tell outside of, it's a great match. Saudi Arabia wanted Logan Paul, so we gotta give him Logan Paul. Meanwhile, I don't know why Siri's going off. Please, leave it. I gotta... Meanwhile, the plan should have been fucking technology. The plan should have been coming out of the draft, lining a roster up on Friday night where Cody has opponents lined up for May, June, and July with story, story, and story. Then we get Dwayne coming back for SummerSlam, and then we can build the story with them. And I'm sure some geek will take this out of context, and I'm sure some half-witted fucking slob on social media will clip this and, oh, look, JD is on Tony Khan's snowman's payroll. How could I be on Tony Khan's payroll when I'm on Triple H's payroll coming out of Wednesday? Make up your fucking minds. You can sit there and like it. I'll enjoy it for what it is, but I'm calling out the discrepancies. I'm calling out the bullshit. Story, story, story. 000. King of the Ring. We got more men's matches. We got more women's matches. We didn't get the whole field of men's matches on this show. Outside one, LA Knight versus Santos Escobar. WWE saved that one for the upcoming house show this weekend. Same thing with Tiffany Stratton versus Mia Yim. Those two ladies will be on the house show circuit. King of the Ring. For the most part, I enjoyed what we got tonight. We got a clearer picture of where we're going, for sure. Randy Orton, he defeated AJ Styles tonight. Tama Tonga, he defeated Angelo Dawkins, who filled in for Bobby Lashley. Bobby Lashley apparently was injured working out. He's no longer able to compete in the tournament. On the women's side, we got Jade Cargill. She went one-on-one with Piper Niven. Oh, the men's side also had Baron Corbin versus Carmelo Hayes. I don't know how I could have forgot that. I was very impressed with Baron Corbin. We'll talk about him in a little bit. Jade Cargill versus Piper Niven. Pretty decent. Pretty decent from Jade tonight. We'll talk about that. Naomi went one-on-one with Nia Jax. We'll talk about that. And Bianca Belair defeated Candice LeRae. We'll talk about that as well. All in all, I mean, it wasn't like it was a bad show. It wasn't a bad show. It forwarded the tournament. But was it an entertaining show? I mean, I wasn't jumping over the moon about it. Did I find it to be mostly boring? Sure. Because there's no real story. I don't know if the WWE is going to take what we saw tonight that happened in the tournament and then carry it through the rest of the tournament. I'll mention that tonight too. Because I mentioned this on Tuesday night with Solid Monster. All in all, it was okay. It was an okay episode of SmackDown. And then obviously Solo Sikoa. It was a big backstage segment with Solo Sikoa where he made quite the revelation to Paul Heyman. I'm not sure any of us believe him after what had happened between him and Paul Heyman tonight on Friday Night SmackDown. Guys, we're going to go over the rest of SmackDown here tonight. I want to thank you very much for joining me on this Friday night. Please hit that thumbs up. Got 480 likes right now. 2,100 people live in the venue. So make sure you guys hit that thumbs up. Let's try for 1,000 likes tonight on the Friday Night SmackDown post. Super chats are open. Get them on in. As usual, we will hang out at the end of the show. Follow me on social media at JD from NY206, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Cameo. Make sure you guys hit that subscribe button as well. Turn on the bell for notifications. We got some great new sponsors coming up this month. Tonight's show, sponsored by the OGs. They got their own little booth in the VIP lounge. Blue Chew. BlueChew.com. Code JD at checkout. All you guys got to do is pay the $5 shipping and handling. Go check out all the other content on the channel as well. There is plenty of content. And I want to thank you guys for making Tuesday Night Titans with the Solid Monster the highest rated Tuesday night show in the history of TNT. And we just surpassed 50,000 views for the debut episode with Solid Monster. Take that and shove it up your asshole. The two best in the entire community coming together to give you guys a podcast that nobody in this space will be able to duplicate and nobody will be able to touch it. You're welcome. Go check it out. It's well worth your time. I've had people come up to me and say, hey, man, I listened to that two or three times. It was so great. Thank you. We'll be back at it again on Tuesday. In other news, let's get into the SmackDown post. First of all, I gotta shout out these guys, man. What am I doing? I'm slacking on tonight's show, man. We got a couple of bombs thrown at the bartenders tonight. Oh, my goodness. Tay-Tay, the savior, and David Thiering, both with $100 bombs. Tay-Tay says, Jade looked better tonight than she did at Backlash. I agree. I'm predicting LA Knight to go over Santos Escobar and Tiffany Stratton to go over Mia Yim in the live events. Randy and AJ put on a clinic. Naomi and Nia Jax were not bad. Melo and Corbin looked good tonight. I thought Corbin looked better than Melo. Tay-Tay, I like the way you're thinking there, brother. Thank you so very much for the $100 super chat. And David Thiering, he comes in hot with $100. Having dealt with cancer myself, and I'm cancer-free now, I am more than happy to help out your friend's situation, JD. I dropped with the GoFundMe tip, the equivalent of a $100 bomb. Now here's $100 for you. Hashtag fuck cancer and hashtag OTS for life. David, that is very, very, very kind of you, brother. I really appreciate that. And so does Llama's family. Thank you very much, man. I love that. I love that energy. And I thank you guys for all the support. Truly, I do. SmackDown. We get right into the top with Nick Aldis in the ring introducing Cody Rhodes. Nick Aldis was there to tell us about Cody's next challenge. That's King and Queen of the Ring for the WWE Championship. Crowd was big time into Cody Rhodes tonight. They were in Pennsylvania, in Wilkes, barely alive, Pennsylvania, but they were pretty loud tonight. They were pretty loud. Crowd sang his entrance theme. He made his way to the ring. Cody Rhodes got a microphone from ringside. He stood opposite from Nick Aldis. Aldis congratulated Cody on a successful defense against AJ Styles at Backlash. Aldis said they must turn their attention to King and Queen of the Ring. Aldis says he knows that Rhodes wants to be a fighting champion and defend the title against the very best. Said that Cody's next challenger has been determined. Out comes Logan Paul. Aldis walked past Paul on the ramp, shook his hand. Logan Paul jumped on the apron. He stared at Cody Rhodes. He gets in the ring. Rhodes looks at Logan Paul and said he knew what Paul wanted to talk about. Logan Paul said that Cody Rhodes did indeed. He proposed the main event for King and Queen of the Ring, champion versus champion. Logan Paul said this would kick off the Logan Paul Levesque era. Sure. Cody Rhodes says he liked the challenge. Logan Paul cut off Rhodes and says he didn't care about Rhodes' feelings. He says he, not Rhodes, is the longest reigning champion currently in WWE. Well, it's easy to say that when both Gunther and Roman Reigns lost their championship, as well as Rhea Ripley needing to vacate hers. It's not that difficult to do. Logan Paul called himself the greatest attraction in the company and said he had the greatest rookie year of all time. Logan Paul then turned to a kid in the crowd who held up a sign saying that it's his birthday. He'd like to meet the superstars. Signed, Elijah. So he looked at the kid, told him to hold up the sign. Logan Paul congratulated this kid and said he met a superstar in Logan Paul. And then he said Cody Rhodes is pretty great too. Logan Paul said Rhodes won the 2023 Royal Rumble. But everyone was talking about Logan Paul's collision with Ricochet in that Rumble. Logan Paul mentioned that Cody Rhodes won the title at WrestleMania. But everyone was talking about Logan Paul and his brand. False. Over who? Cody? Over that main event with The Rock? No. I think he was drinking a little bit too much Prime Energy. Paul mentioned that Rhodes won the title at WrestleMania. Everybody's talking about Prime Energy and Logan Paul. Paul said that 3 years ago, they both debuted at WrestleMania. Paul said since then, he's been the rocket fuel for the spaceship that is WWE. Logan Paul asked how Rhodes could finish the story when it isn't his story to finish. Logan Paul says he wants to talk about knocking Rhodes out and pinning him on the logo of Prime Energy and then leave Saudi Arabia as the WWE champion. My guy Ian Taylor with a $100 super chat. Hey, JD, good shit tonight. Been watching you since your beef with Shotsu Entertainment. And my baby daughter. Way back when. Turning 21 this weekend. Maybe I should read this $100 super chat in the Sean's View gimmick. Hey, JD, good shit tonight. Been watching you since your beef with Sean's View Entertainment. Turning 21 this weekend. Gonna have a beer with my dad and grandpa. And then Monday, I'll head to the venue. Also, thoughts and prayers to Jay and his family. Ian Taylor, thank you so much for the $100 super chat. Appreciate and love you, brother. Thank you so much for being here. Oh, man. Listen, man, where are you going to get this level of entertainment? Where are you going to get this level of entertainment? Anywhere in the community, man. Where are you going to go watch? Borful? Where are you going to watch? Who are you going to watch, man? Oh, who they got over there? Kate? What is she doing? Putting 200 people to sleep? Fuck out of here, man. Ridiculous. It's what we do here, bro. Cody Rhodes said he bets that a lot of people stand across from Paul and assume he's a dumbass. Cody says he isn't going to call Paul an outsider. He said Paul is under 40 and made the Forbes list. Said that Paul won the United States title in his fifth match. Rhodes said if he won the U.S. title, he would be a Grand Slam champion. Logan Paul started to lift the mic and Rhodes said, wait a minute, I'm not done. I'm not done. He said, Paul can't go a match without the brass knuckles. You are disrespectful and delusional. He said, WWE is a team. Rhodes said that Paul is going to find out where he stands on the team at the King and Queen of the Ring. Now listen, I want to be level-headed with everybody. Okay? I want to be level-headed with everybody. In the current landscape of WWE, the current rosters of WWE right now, we have Cody Rhodes and everybody on SmackDown either injured or tied up in the King of the Ring tournament. So I understand that with Roman out, with Rock out, with everybody else tied up in the tournament that might be a top contender for Cody Rhodes and the WWE title, that the pickings for an opponent or a challenger for Cody Rhodes may be very slim. I get it. I'm not a dummy. But at the same time, WWE has this draft that they are completely in charge of. It's not like it's some randomized fucking draft and it's out of WWE's control. They hold the keys. They have the power to make the show, make the rosters how they want. So no matter what people are saying, oh, it's Saudi Arabia, it's all right. Oh, it's great business. Oh, it's going to be a great match. And for the reasons that I just said, oh, everybody's tied up in the tournament. It's fine. You could use those excuses. But you got to expect me to come back with one of my own. A valid one of my own. Well, if that's the case, why are we blowing through this match so quickly when clearly this is a match that was set up for Cody at some point? And why didn't WWE do a better job of thinking long-term when planning out what the rosters were going to look like and setting up a nice slew of opponents for Cody Rhodes at the top of the SmackDown card so that he could be kept busy with story going into the summer, waiting for Dwayne to get back, waiting for Roman to get back, and picking the pieces up that were left at WrestleMania? Why do we just have to give him random match, random opponent, random match, random opponent until Rock and Roman get back? Why can't we do match, story, and make it mean something? By all accounts, you're wasting Cody Rhodes. You got Cody Rhodes as the guy. Cody Rhodes is the ace. Cody Rhodes is the face, the champion. Meanwhile, just throwing him out there. Just give us a banger match. It's great. Why can't Cody give us a banger match and a story? At this point, all you're doing, honestly, all you're doing is taking the Tony Khan method and throwing Cody Rhodes out there as a fighting champion, just like he's doing right now with Swerve, as a fighting champion. Cody Rhodes is obviously more over and bigger of a star compared to Swerve Strickland. But the styles in which both companies are booking their champions is fucking weak. It's lame. Cody could go out there and hide it better because people are going to be singing his theme and they're going to be, whoa! And they all come out to pay their money to go, whoa! They can hide it better. They can hide the lack of story and logic behind all of the theatrics, all the smokes and mirrors. AEW can't do that because more and more every single week, you got people swerving when they drive. Every single week, people are getting their licenses revoked. There's nobody fucking swerving because nobody's fucking driving over there. Do better. Cody is worth so much more than throwing him out there and having banger match. You got Cody Rhodes, whether you like him or not, is one of the best storytellers in the entire business. And you're not doing what he is most strong at. Story. No, but the mightier than thou and the holier than thou business side of the IWC, the people who are, oh, stocks, oh, revenue, oh, money, YouTube, social media. It's great. I don't give a fuck. Creative is king. When you tie up the creative and get that right, everything else that follows is going to be up. You did it going into WrestleMania. And then all of a sudden you want to fucking take a shit on everything you did and go on a 2-month vacation because Dwayne ain't there. We can't write Brian Gewirtz and Dwayne Johnson, they're not there till August, man. We'll take the entire summer off. Come on, man. You got to do better than that. Got to do better than that. Will it be a good match? Sure. Cody could sleep his way through a good match. And Logan Paul is fucking great. Nobody's going to give a fuck because the main event's going to happen. We'll say, oh, man, what a great match. And everything I said will be laughed at because people have half a fucking brain. Meanwhile, they all know I'm right. How much better would the match be if there was an actual story going into it? Instead, most of the people are going to be like, oh, yeah, it's a great match. All right, tell me why. Was the feud going into it great? No, there wasn't any. So what made it great? You got two guys who are in the profession of professional wrestlers. So they're basically doing what their job title is. They're professionally wrestling. It's great. You're going to have to hook me better than that, Tony. We're the best wrestle, huh? It's great. What good is the fucking best wrestling when there's no fucking story? Moving on. Dark Effects. Oh, no. Well, I got to call you out because now that I call it Dark Effect, thank you for the $5. But this is going to Adam Casper with a $100 super chat. Happy Friday, JD and everybody. Should the Cody versus Logan Paul match have only been for Cody's title? This match should be at SummerSlam instead of Saudi Arabia. You know, it's interesting how they booked this match. Thank you, Adam. It's interesting how they booked this match with basically the idea that Cody will not, cannot, and should not lose. So who wins if both titles are on the line? Does Cody walk out as a Grand Slam champion? Does he walk out as the United States champion? Or does something happen in that match that causes a disqualification? Why does Cody need to walk around with two titles? It's my question. What good is the United States Championship on Cody Rhodes unless you want to take it off of him and put it on the line in some fucking fatal four-way or gauntlet match? I don't know. Sounds counterproductive to me, if you are asking my genuine and honest opinion. Why does Cody Rhodes need another title? He just won the title that he was looking for his entire life. Now you're going to add another title to his shoulder? Doesn't seem to make sense to me. Kayla Braxton was in the back with AJ Styles. She asked about his first round tournament match against RKO, Randall Keith Orton. Styles said he had Rhodes beat at Backlash, and everyone knows it. Styles said the crowd in France sang along, and they distracted him. He says it should be him defending against Logan Paul. Styles says he would beat Rhodes next time they are in the ring. Styles says he's going to earn another title shot, and by doing that, he's going to win the King of the Ring, and that would be a phenomenal step in the right direction. Great. Naomi. He went one-on-one, or she went one-on-one, rather. I'm thinking about Styles. Styles, I was going to say, if Styles could stay this amped up, I think we got a top contender on SmackDown. That should be there for the rest of the year. He feels a lot more charged up than he has before WrestleMania, which is always a good thing. Naomi versus Nia Jax. The two ladies start the Queen of the Ring tournament for Friday Night SmackDown. And I must say that I thought they had a very good match. They went 10 minutes. This was better than I expected it to be, honestly. Not surprised by the outcome. Naomi got some nice spots. The crowd was hot for it. Nia looked good. Can't complain. I thought what they did was solid as a Queen of the Ring, King of the Ring tournament match. Nia Jax had control early. She started throwing Naomi around. Jax hit a big splash and an elbow. Naomi's in the corner. Nia Jax ran at Naomi. Naomi moved, and Nia Jax did the gimmick where she goes shoulder first into the steel post. Naomi landed a suicide dive on Nia Jax, and she bounces off the outside barricade. Jax comes back with the Samoan drop on the outside on Naomi, and we go to commercial break. We come back from break, and Nia Jax is still in control. She draped Naomi over the top rope. Nia Jax headbutted Naomi to the outside. Naomi back in, went for a sunset flip back into the ring. Jax tried to sit on Naomi, but she moved out of the way. Naomi tried for a clothesline, a back elbow, a disaster kick of sorts, and Nia Jax doesn't go down. She falls to her knees. Naomi planted Jax onto the apron and landed a split-legged RVD-like moonsault in the corner for a near fall. Naomi then hits the leaping elbow and started to lift Nia Jax up to the top rope. Couldn't get her up at first, but she eventually got her up. Selling the effects of this, holding the back. Naomi went to the top and landed. This looked dangerous. I thought something was going to be fucked up here, but thankfully, they executed it perfectly. A top rope Frankensteiner by Naomi, which got her a very close three count, 2 3/4. Naomi, she almost had it won. She then hits a series of super kicks, caught Jax right in the mouth with one of them. Jax caught Naomi and power bombed her off of one of the kicks. She then executed a leg drop right across the small of the back and then dragged her to the corner, which was the end of Naomi in the Queen of the Ring. Nia Jax hits the Annihilator for the 1-2-3. Nia Jax is advancing to the second round of the tournament. She will wrestle the winner of Jade Cargill and Piper Niven in the second round. I thought this was good. Naomi, I understand that Naomi needs to start stringing some victories together. At this point, Naomi is a loser. Not that she herself is a loser, but the creative has treated Naomi like a jobber. She's basically there to feed everybody else wins and make everybody else look good. When is Naomi going to get some of that pizza pie? Right now, she's got nothing left over but the crusts, and everybody else is eating. All she wants is a couple of slices. Can you spare some? Now, I predicted Nia Jax to win this tournament. I did. At this point, I'm not sure if that's the likely direction anymore. And we'll talk about why when we get to Jade Cargill. Byron Saxton interviewed Baron Corbin. He was backstage. Corbin talked about how he found himself in NXT. Carmelo Hayes walked in, and he was very prickish, very cocky. Was Carmelo, asked Corbin when he got drafted. I don't know. I was drafted ahead of you. Hayes then gave Corbin some advice and said he should have pulled out of the King of the Ring tournament the way Bobby Lashley did, because I'm going to teach you a lesson, just like I would have taught Bobby a lesson. Great. Carmelo Hayes, he went one-on-one with Baron Corbin. This match went 6 minutes. Hayes jumped out early with the advantage, landed a dropkick, targeted Corbin's knee, slapping Corbin around. Corbin got angry. He landed some strikes, took Carmelo Hayes out. They're at the announce desk, and we go to a commercial break. Show returned. Hayes landed a springboard clothesline and a face buster for a two count. Corbin came back with a Death Valley driver into a vertical suplex, which was a nice double combination of maneuvers. He goes for recovery, gets a two count. Hayes. He goes up top. He hits the first 48. And Corbin moved, clotheslined the hell out of Carmelo. Turned him inside out. Corbin landed a suplex cutter for a two count. Corbin then went for the end of days. Carmelo rolled through, and then he ended up rolling up Corbin for a fluky victory. Leverage pin, 1, 2, 3, and Baron Corbin already off to a losing start on Friday Night SmackDown. Carmelo gets his first victory on the main roster after losing to Cody Rhodes. He beats poor Baron Corbin. He advances to the second round of the tournament. He wrestles the winner of AJ Styles and Randy Orton, which was won by Randy Orton tonight. So we're getting Randy Orton versus Carmelo Hayes in the second round. Great. I'm going to give you guys a hot take here tonight. Whether you like it or not, I don't really give a shit. Baron Corbin outclassed Carmelo Hayes tonight. Baron Corbin looked better than Carmelo Hayes did here tonight. Not the biggest Baron Corbin guy, but I can say I've monitored Baron Corbin's journey in NXT. I've watched what he did in NXT. I've watched what he did as the Wolf Dogs with Baron Corbin and Bron Breakker as a tag team. I enjoyed what they did together. The energy was there. It was a renewed focus. It almost felt like he found what he needed to do through Bron Breakker. And I hope that at some point we get Bron Breakker over to Monday Night Raw and we get the Wolf Dogs back together at least for a little bit, because Baron Corbin, I don't know if he's going to survive on Friday night. And Bron Breakker, you want him to do something in the meantime, I think that's a good role for him. Because Monday Night Raw around Braun is stacked. So I don't know if they're going to go with him immediately and thrust him into that group. Or maybe you have him stand out with Baron Corbin in a division that could absolutely use a shot in the arm on Monday Night Raw. Baron Corbin, I will say this. Tonight, in-ring, as far as the in-ring aspect of what he did, this may have been the best Corbin has looked since he won the King of the Ring on the main roster, because he's been in NXT. I thought his match with Dragunov a few months back, I thought what he did there was very good. But I thought the physical aspect of what he did, the movement, the moves, the impact, the focus, what Baron Corbin did tonight, I thought, he looked better than he did last time he was on the main roster. It's got a great-looking theme song, entrance. I don't know, man. You see the work that he put in, and I could appreciate it. And I thought he looked better than Carmelo tonight. Carmelo's going to be fine. It's easy to say Carmelo's going to be better than Corbin, or Carmelo wrestled better than Corbin. But tonight, I thought Corbin looked better than Carmelo. And we all knew Carmelo was going to get the victory. Kayla Braxton, she interviewed Bayley backstage. Bayley said there were a lot of talented women in the Queen of the Ring tournament. Bayley was then cut off by Chelsea Green and Piper Niven. Green said Niven was going to kick Jade Cargill out of the tournament. Cargill was then shown walking to the ring so that she could wrestle Piper Niven in the next match. Randy Orton, he was interviewed by Kayla Braxton. And Randy Orton was talking about his King of the Ring tournament match. This was Byron Saxton, not Caleb Braxton. Byron Saxton interviewed Randy Orton. Saxton said some are saying Orton is the favorite to win the tournament. Maybe. Still going with Gunther, though. Others are saying the same about Styles. Orton says he's accomplished many things in WWE, but he's never won the King of the Ring tournament. Orton said everyone knows how great Styles is. Orton said it feels phenomenal when he hits Styles with an RKO. Orton started to leave and then stopped. And then he said he had a message for Tama Tonga. He said Tonga and the Bloodline took out Kevin Owens. Orton said something tells him that he and Tonga will cross paths. Orton says it won't be an RKO out of nowhere for Tonga. Orton says he's going to make sure that Tonga sees it coming. You guys want to know what the finals on the SmackDown side is going to be? There you go. WWE ain't hiding what the finals on the SmackDown side of the King of the Ring tournament is going to be. Because whoever comes out of the LA Knight Santos Escobar match will inevitably lose to Tama Tonga. And Tama Tonga will be in the final. And Randy Orton is going to defeat Carmelo Hayes. We're looking at a Randy Orton and Tama Tonga final on the SmackDown side. Now, you know what? I'll save it till the end. I'll save it for the end. Had another thought in my mind in which I hope WWE doesn't go that route. Going into hour two, Jade Cargill makes her entrance. Piper Niven's out there. She's with Chelsea Green. Queen of the Ring tournament match lasted 5 minutes. Two locked up. Multiple attempts at a collar and elbow tie-up. And they started trash-talking each other because they ended in a stalemate. So Jade jumps off the ropes, or bounces off the ropes, rather. Shoulder tackle. Piper moves nowhere. Piper does the same thing. Jade moves nowhere. They go back and forth, testing strength. Who's going to knock who down first? Eventually, Cargill took Niven down with a shoulder block. But Niven came right back, caught Cargill, and slammed her down before hitting a nasty-looking senton for a two count. Cargill was draped over the second rope. Chelsea Green slapped Cargill as the referee wasn't looking. Niven slammed Cargill and hit two short arm clotheslines. These did not look good. Well, the first one, I should say, didn't look good. Cargill looked like she folded up like a tortilla out there. She just flopped to the floor. Now, the commentators try to play it off as Jade Cargill was out on her feet and she was basically dead weight at that point. But then Piper Niven picks her back up and delivers another clothesline. And then this time, Jade Cargill took a flat back bump. To me, that was the only negative of the match, the selling of the clotheslines. Niven went for a third clothesline. Cargill blocked it and landed what looked to be a mini blue thunder bomb, minus the spin. She goes for cover. She gets a two count on Piper Niven. Cargill hits a series of splashes in the corner. Chelsea Green jumps on the apron. As she was attempting another splash, she turned to Chelsea, punched her in the face, knocked her off the apron. Cargill, at one point here, teased Jaded. And I'm like, she ain't getting this woman up. Come on now. Niven blocked it, knocked Cargill down. She places Cargill in the corner, and she hits a running cannonball like Brody King in the corner on Jade Cargill. Looked awesome. She goes for cover. She gets a two count. So Niven tried to climb to the top. Jade cut her off, pulls her back down, hits a pump kick, quickly goes for Jaded, and she got her up in Jaded for the 1-2-3. Jade Cargill advances over Piper Niven. She now gets Nia Jax in the second round. You guys know I'm always honest. The people that don't regularly watch me label me a hater. You listen to Backlash for the first time. Oh, JD's a hater. This guy's a clown. This guy hates women. I thought Jade looked fucking terrible at Backlash. I thought Jade looked so much more impressive here tonight against Piper Niven. I thought Jade looked decent tonight. Outside of the clotheslines and the clothesline spot, she looked decent. She hit her spots. She sold. She looked physical. She looked like she had a fire lit under her ass tonight. She did fine. Now, if we can continue to build upon that, we should be in decent shape. Am I already crowning Jade Cargill the Queen of the Ring? Fuck no. No, I'm not crowning her Queen of the Ring. My eyes will roll if Jade Cargill wins Queen of the Ring. That would be a blatantly obvious WWE plunger moment. Gee, they don't have a fucking narrative, right? Out of all the women in that fucking tournament, in that company, Jade is going to win Queen of the Ring? She looked decent. And let's give some flowers to Piper Niven. Looks like Jade works a lot better with women twice her size. I'm expecting more of the same as to what we saw here next week with Nia Jax. In fact, we may get a better match with Nia Jax. Looks like she works better with the larger women. Because Jade could show off her strength. Jade can do and work on some of the weakest points of her game while selling for somebody much bigger, much stronger, and much larger than she is. Now I got a genuine question. With Jade in the tournament, which I was pleasantly surprised by when we saw her name included in the field of eight, my mind started to wander. Well, why is she in the tournament? I'm concerned that WWE is going to do exactly what I just mentioned. They're going to push a narrative that Jade needs to win the tournament. Jade, in WWE's eyes, is going to be the next big star to come out of that division. Does WWE want to put her in a position to lose a one-on-one match already? Or do they want to wait on keeping her undefeated? This is what I'm genuinely thinking about. Now, I don't think, I hope to God they don't, way too soon for that. I don't think that WWE is going to do Jade and Bianca in the final. It's too soon for that. I don't think Jade is ready for that. I would rather Jade get this entire year of work and you build to something like that for Las Vegas, WrestleMania 41. I'd be okay with that if that's the direction that they want to go. I hope that they don't do that. It's blatantly obvious, and it's very narrative-driven if you go that direction. Now, I don't think that WWE has booked themselves into a corner here. I don't. WWE could do something very wily. They could do something very creative. Nia Jax and Jade Cargill could build a little mini feud together on SmackDown. Now, this is obviously taking Jade and Nia and what they did at the Royal Rumble and kind of going back on that and building around what happened there, because Jade threw out Nia in the Royal Rumble, so Nia is now looking for her revenge. Great. If I'm booking this thing, if you give me the pen for this thing, I'm doing Jade and Nia going to a countout. Double countout. They don't adhere to the referee's 10 count. Nobody advances. That way you keep Nia looking strong. That way you keep Jade looking strong. You build from that into a one-on-one match outside the tournament where you're more than likely giving Jade the win, keeping her undefeated. And then you make Bianca Belair versus Tiffany Stratton in the other match. The winner of that goes directly to Saudi. And whoever wins that, I don't know. Make a case for either woman. In this case, you could probably book Bianca Belair in the final. Bianca Belair in the final against whomever you think coming out of the Raw side. EO or whoever is in the tournament over on Monday Night Raw. But Jade winning the tournament is a bad idea. Jade winning the tournament is a blatant narrative that we should stay away from this early in her run. Having her lose, I just don't see WWE doing that just yet. If it's up to me, I wouldn't mind Jade losing. I would not mind Jade losing. I really wouldn't. Because Nia more than likely is going after the women's championship. So what do you think we do here? The last thing I think, if we do get Bianca getting eliminated by Tiffany Stratton and Jade going further with Tiffany beating Jade, I could see Bianca Belair using that as some jealousy angle towards Jade, that Jade made it further in the finals, or further in the tournament, rather, and Bianca could eventually start teasing this attitude change and turning on Jade. Because I do think Jade versus Bianca is going to happen. I don't think this tag team is going to last all year. And I do think Bianca could absolutely use a heel turn. We'll see. I don't know. But again, I need to stress to you guys, I do not see Jade Cargill winning this tournament. A double countout is the safest way to go. Because I don't see WWE wanting to beat Nia Jax either. It's going to be very interesting next week. Speaking of Bianca, Jade was celebrating. She walked up the aisleway. Out comes Bianca. Had a match immediately following Jade's match with Piper Niven. She gets in the ring with Candice LeRae. Not much to this because it went minus 3 minutes. Belair had control early. Indy Hartwell was out there with Candice LeRae. She attempted to interfere. LeRae targeted Belair's knee and spent most of this 3 minutes working on the knee until Belair fired up, evened things out, hit a fallaway slam. Belair tried for a vertical suplex. LeRae worked out of it, went after the knee again with a chop block. And eventually, with the knee still an issue and her selling the knee, Bianca Belair hit the KOD for the 1-2-3. Bianca Belair is going to the semifinals, and she wrestles the winner of Tiffany Stratton versus Mia Yim, which I'm assuming will take place sometime between now and next Friday, and Tiffany Stratton will win and advance to wrestle Bianca. So we're looking at Nia, Jade, Bianca, and Tiffany. I could see Tiffany winning, going to the finals on SmackDown. I could see Jade winning, going to the finals, and Tiffany going to Saudi. Bianca could get jealous or envious of Jade. Start teasing the split there. Maybe that's where they go. The other plan, double count out. Nia, Jade, they don't adhere to the referee's 10, which makes Bianca and Tiffany the final, and the winner of that goes to Saudi. However, which way you want to play it. I don't know. Or the unlikely scenario, we get Bianca versus Jade in the final, which I don't know why WWE would want to do that when it's not at a WrestleMania. We will see. Paul Heyman. He was backstage with Solo Sikoa. This was a very interesting backstage segment. Paul Heyman appeared with Solo. Heyman asked Solo for a moment. He asks Tonga Loa and Tama Tonga, I need to speak to Solo in private. Heyman said that he's Roman Reigns' wise man. Heyman said that Solo is making decisions that aren't his. Sikoa said that Heyman is lying. You lied about Reigns withdrawing himself from the draft, which means we got drafted in the third round. Meanwhile, we should have gotten drafted first. Solo said Heyman cost him money. He asked if Heyman is trying to take money from him and his children. Are you trying to take money off the dinner table of my family and my kids, wise man? Solo said that Reigns lost their title at WrestleMania. Not his title. Their title. Solo asked if Heyman has spoken to Reigns since WrestleMania. Heyman said, no, I have not. Solo said, well, I have. I've spoken to Reigns since WrestleMania. So now they're just going back and forth, lie for lie. Solo said that Reigns said that Solo is now in charge until Reigns gets back. Solo said Heyman is now his wise man by orders of the tribal chief. Solo asked Heyman for a hug. Wise man, give me a hug. We love you. And Solo's looking at the wise man, hugging the wise man. He looks. And in the background, we see Tama Tonga and Tongaloa. And Solo's got this, what would you say, this vile look on his face. This look of like, I didn't speak to Roman Reigns, motherfucker. I'm telling you, I spoke to him because I know you didn't. And you're going to do what I say. You're going to listen to what I say. And I'm going to tell you that I spoke to Roman Reigns. And you're going to understand I spoke to Roman Reigns. That's the type of look that Solo Sikoa gave Paul Heyman. Now, the look said it all. Paul Heyman admitted that he never spoken to Roman Reigns. That he spoke to Roman Reigns and Roman Reigns withdrew his name from the draft. That didn't happen. Heyman admitted that he hadn't spoken to Roman Reigns since WrestleMania. So how would he know if he spoke to Roman Solo? How would Heyman know if Solo spoke to Roman if he himself didn't talk to Roman? Solo did not talk to Roman. He did not talk to Roman. If he spoke to anybody, he spoke to the tribal chief. He spoke to the high chief. He spoke to the final boss. I still think that Solo Sikoa is operating on behalf of The Rock. There was no communication between Solo and Roman Reigns. Zero. The look on Solo's face said it all. Paul Heyman lied. There's nothing that Paul Heyman's going to do to Solo. Solo lied back, and Solo, with what he told Roman, or what he told Paul, rather, about Roman, Paul's going to believe him because he's got no choice. And he did mention Solo, by the way. He did mention the look that Paul Heyman gave at Jey Uso at Backlash. He saw the look. Paul, were you asking my brother Jey for help with the facial expressions that you gave him? Man, oh man, Swerve is in the air. Love it. I thought Solo came off really well here. I thought Solo admitted some confidence that we haven't seen from him in a while. Very direct, very blunt. But this was great. Angelo Dawkins versus Tama Tonga. Tama Tonga's got a really cool entrance. Really good stuff. I was wondering how they were going to depict him on television. Good stuff. This match went 2 minutes. 2 minutes for a King of the Ring quarterfinal match. Gotta love it. Match didn't have much to it. Tonga jump-started the match, attacked Dawkins in the corner. Tonga ran at Dawkins. Dawkins moved. Hit Tonga with several clotheslines and a big flying elbow. Dawkins then hit a shoulder block and took Tonga outside. Dawkins then punched Solo. Montez took out the rest of the bloodline with a big dive over the top rope, and he landed on his feet. Dawkins then slammed Tonga with a big sit-out powerbomb. But meanwhile, as that was going on, Solo hit the Samoan spike on Montez Ford on the outside. This was enough to distract Angelo Dawkins and for Tama Tonga to hit his finish on Angelo Dawkins for the 1-2-3. At the end of the match, Solo hit Dawkins with the spike before the bloodline was asked to leave the ringside area. Great. Who's booking this shit? Vince?
Ah, we're going to go with 2 minutes for the King of the Ring quarterfinal match, pal.
Great. Randy Orton. They saved all of their minutes for Randy Orton and AJ Styles' main event King of the Ring tournament match. This was a good match. Very good main event television match. Two of the company's biggest stars on Friday night. Crowd was very much into it. Orton's music was being sung by Wilkes Barely Alive, Pennsylvania. Wasn't like Leon France, but it looks like Randy and his theme song being sung is now catching on. And we can add his name to the list of theme songs that people like to interact with. Orton clothesline Styles to the floor. He posed on the second rope, and we go to a commercial break. So almost immediately to a commercial break. We come back from break. Orton was in control, punching Styles repeatedly. Styles got in a couple of elbows and a couple of knee strikes. Orton was on the outside of the ring. Styles went out there to follow him out there. Orton responded by dropping Styles on the guardrail. Orton then dropped Styles on the announce table. Orton did it again, and then he gave the crowd in Wilkes Barely Alive, Pennsylvania, a bow. He bowed to the crowd. We get back in the ring. Styles went to go work on Orton's knee with a drop kick, running chop block. Orton rolled to the outside. Styles ran around the ring to land another running chop block on Orton's knee. So that's the story of the match, Orton's knee. We go to another commercial break because that's what I love in my 17-minute King of the Ring quarterfinal matches, two commercial breaks. Styles continued to focus on Orton's knee. Styles was on the first rope, and Orton kicked Styles over the top and outside to the floor. They go back in the ring. Orton starts to fight back. He kicks Styles, landed a series of clotheslines on Styles. Styles rolled up Orton for a fluky two count. Orton comes back, hits a European uppercut. Styles took him off the apron with it. Styles yanked on Orton's knee over the second rope. So now he's got Randy Orton in a compromised position with the knee. He goes up and sets up for the phenomenal forearm. Orton cuts Styles off and knocks Styles off the top rope. Styles worked a calf crusher, but Orton managed to transition into a rear chin lock. Orton followed up with a snap power slam and a two count. Orton is now looking to place Styles on the top rope. Styles slipped out. Don't know what Orton was planning. Orton caught Styles with a draping DDT. He then set up for an RKO, but Styles pushed Orton away. Styles went up for a phenomenal forearm and hit it. He goes for a cover. Orton gets to the ropes to break the referee's count. Styles went for another Styles Clash, or at least signaled for a Styles Clash. Orton pushed him away and eventually hits the RKO and got the 1-2-3. The show was barely hanging on at this point, and as soon as the pinfall happened, they ended the show immediately after the RKO. I thought what they did was good. I don't think anybody expected AJ Styles to win the match, but we are getting Randy Orton against Carmelo Hayes and Tama Tonga against LA Knight. So on the men's side, it looks like we're getting Randy Orton and Tama Tonga. And Randy Orton, in my opinion, is going to the finals on the SmackDown side, and Gunther is going to the finals on the Raw side. In Saudi Arabia, I believe we're getting Randy Orton versus Gunther for the King of the Ring final between Raw and SmackDown. Now, what I mentioned earlier, I said I was going to wait to talk about it in the end. What I hope WWE does not do is use this tournament to further push the bloodline. What I mean by that is I hope WWE doesn't push Tama Tonga to the finals against Jey Uso. I hope that is not the case. That sounds fucking lame. There are other ways to do that. We don't need to use an entire tournament that would benefit somebody else far greater for them winning it than giving it to the bloodline. I hope to God that is not the case. I feel like Randy Orton and Gunther is the direction that we're going. Honestly. And a lot of people are like, well, what about Ilya Dragunov? Why does Ilya Dragunov need to win the final? Solomon Monster and I discussed this on Tuesday. If Ilya Dragunov wins the King of the Ring, then more than likely he is going to challenge for a world championship. Why would he already be factored into a world championship? It's too soon for him. I could see Gunther factoring into that. I could see Randy Orton factoring into that. But Randy Orton's feuding with the Bloodline. I don't think Randy Orton is going to stop feuding with the Bloodline. I think Gunther challenging for the world championship and saving that for either Clash at the Castle or Bash in Berlin is the way to go. Gunther's going to win the King of the Ring. No, I'm not feeling very Usy. That is your SmackDown coverage tonight. If you enjoyed tonight's show, I would really appreciate you show some support by leaving a thumbs up and a comment down below. I'd love to see who you guys think is going to win the King and Queen of the Ring. Moise A with a $100 super chat. Prayers for Jay and his family. Love you, Jay. He's super into the Bloodline story currently. That payoff of the Bloodline Civil War will be so worth it. Also, great first episode of the new TNT with Solomon. So can't wait for next week. Cold beverage on me, Moise. Thank you, brother. Appreciate you being here as always. Can't wait to see you in the venue back on Tuesday with the Solo Monster. I see someone in the chat. Pokolas35. I see you, bro. He says, JD, why did you block me on Twitter? For what did I do? You are blocked on Twitter for one of several reasons. One, I saw you shadow tweeting me or mentioning me by name without adding me, whatever the fuck that's called. Saw you talking shit about me to somebody else and thought I didn't see it, number one. Number two, you said I'm on Tony Khan's payroll or Triple H's payroll, whichever the winds were swaying this week, number two. Number three, you talk shit to me directly, and then that's an insta-bench. Number four, you called me a dick rider or a cocksucker for one of the two companies. Any more questions? Not that difficult to see why anybody would be deleted off of social media. Thank you guys very much for all your support. Really appreciate you being here. Like I said, my buddy Jay and my buddy Ben going through a difficult time right now. They put their mother in hospice and she doesn't have too much longer with us. You guys can make a donation at all. I would love if you can do that for them. I pinned the link at the top of the live stream chat. If not, a message or thoughts and prayers, love, any of that stuff matters. Any of that stuff will go further than you realize. I quote tweeted him today. It's on my Twitter wall. Go find it and give him some love. Follow me on social media at JD from NY206, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Cameo. Hit that subscribe button down below. Turn on the bell for notifications. Make sure you guys hit that thumbs up. We're looking at 728 likes right now. I want in the vicinity of 1,000 likes if we can do it. Tonight's show is sponsored by Blue Chew. BlueChew.com, code JD at checkout. All I need you guys to do is use that promo code JD and you get your free sample courtesy of the podcast. All you have to do is pay the $5 shipping and handling. Listen, you guys want to be the king of the ring in the bedroom. You want to be the king to your queen in the bedroom. Blue Chew is the way to do that. You want an instant to the finals. You don't even need to go through the tournament, bro. You take one blue chew and you're already in Saudi. Already. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but it comes in chewable tablets, and at a fraction of the cost, you can take them any time, day or night. Plan ahead, be ready whenever the opportunity arises, and the process is very simple. You're going to sign up at BlueChew.com. You're going to consult with one of their online licensed medical providers, and once you are approved, you're going to receive your prescription within days. No questions asked. It's all done online. No visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations with strangers, no waiting in line at the pharmacy. And Blue Chew is made in the USA and ships directly to you in a very discreet package. So why not benefit from that extra confidence, guys, when it matters most? BlueChew.com, code JD at checkout. Free sample courtesy of me. All you have to do is pay the $5 shipping and handling. Joseph Taylor with a $2 super chat. Randy or AJ versus Tama Tonga in the SmackDown Finals. Thank you, Joseph. I appreciate that. Michael Krause with a $2 super chat. Good Friday, JD and OTS family. Have a great weekend. Thank you, Michael. Clone Force with a $1.99. Today is my 25th birthday. Happy birthday, Clone Force. Enjoy yourself, brother. OTS Tribal Queen with 29 months. Naomi has had more wardrobe malfunctions than wins these days. Sadly, you are correct. 29 months, hashtag OTS for life. Thank you, Tribal Queen. Michelle with a $2 super chat. I don't believe Heyman has not spoken to Roman. I will see. I'm intrigued. Main Event 81 with 18 months. Can you please tell me why we have Logan Paul again in Saudi Arabia getting a world title shot? I don't care for Logan. Wannabe wrestler. Get him out. Come on, man. Logan Paul is a very good professional wrestler. Tony Brown with a $5 super chat. Wasn't a horrible show. Paul versus Rhodes. Interesting. Billy, there he is. Billy Cizan with the $20 super chat. What's up, JD? Thanks for messaging me back yesterday. That meant a lot to me. Finally on vacation, gonna try and rest, chill with the OTS family. Yeah. Billy, we got you, brother. Enjoy yourself. Put it all away. Enjoy yourself wherever you are, wherever you may be, man. Just put it away. Listen, I'm hopping on Destiny after the game is after this stream is over, man. I am at the planets on Pantheon. I need planets and Atrax. I need some help. I can't do LFG anymore, man. There's a bunch of fucking half-witted retards on LFG. I need some help. Seriously. I can't do it myself. Telling people where to go, what the planet numbers are. Take this one, dump it over there. Add clear this. Watch out for the Tormentor. Stop using a fucking linear fusion rifle. Put on a fucking Galahorn. These people don't listen. I need help. Billy, thank you, brother. Skinner with 8 months. What's up, OTS fam? Dealing with a lot lately. Have an autoimmune disease attacking my eye nerves. Will be good in a couple of weeks, though. Cheers. Skinner, I'm sorry to hear that, brother. Be well. Stay safe. Tay-Tay with a $4.99. Cody Rhodes versus Logan Paul should be a hell of a match. I wish they ran it back with AJ Styles. Hopefully, it's not title versus title. It looks like it's title versus title. Cody tweeted out, two belts tonight. Are they going to be on tonight? Because I know what I'm doing with planets. I have no fucking idea how to do Aatrox. So I'm going to need some help there. It was one of the few raids I only did maybe once or twice. I don't know what the fuck is going on there. The Joker's voice with a $5 super chat. WrestleMania 41, Las Vegas. You come to my town, JD, and come to my bar. Your first drink is on me. Drinking more Jameson tonight. Listen, man, I love when I go to a place and there are OTS family members in said city with a bar and they invite me. First drink's on me. I love it. I love it. It's awesome. Thank you, Joker. M. Andrati for the $4.99 with hints that the new Wyatt family may debut a King and Queen of the Ring. Perhaps they interfere in the Cody Logan Paul match and cause a DQ finish. Maybe. We don't know yet for sure, but you're putting them in a situation where they'll ultimately lose anyway. Tay-Tay, thank you for the $100 super chat. David, once again, thank you for the $100 super chat. Ian with the $100 super chat. Adam Casper with the $100 super chat. Thank you, gentlemen. Michael Krause with the $2 super chat. Snowman payroll, LOL, JD, comedy at its finest. Jared Howard, watch Wrath of Man and Silent Night action movies. Okay. I heard that they're making a new Lord of the Rings. The Hunt for Gollum. Produced by Peter Jackson. I hope it's not terrible. I will be very, very sad. Dark Effect with $5 Super Chat. Thank you, brother. Let's hope we get some story with Cody soon. Cheers, JD and the OTS family. Sorry I don't donate more while I listen at work. Third shift life sucks. It's all right, brother. Any little bit goes a long way, man. As long as you're here. Demeter Bullion, the wonky donkey, but the truth ye with a $7.99. He says, J-Dog. Truthy versus Cody should be at Mania in 2 years. Rocky Docky don't want it, but Triple H and TJ Perkins say they gonna grab Rocky by the nuts. Punky, oi. Thank you, Demeter. Soundwave 80s with a $1.99. I love the Goonies. Says Soundwave. Thank you, brother. Lauren with a 25 months. Hey, I started a new job. Finally, Cody becoming double champ. European crowds are more vocal. My picks are Tiff Gunther. Who should be Orton's next feud? I don't know. I don't know. Maybe we get Randy Orton winning King of the Ring and he challenges Cody Rhodes for the title at SummerSlam. I have no fucking idea. Moise, thank you for the $100 bomb, brother. Say Ja with a $1.99. Renaissance era, more like karaoke era. I'm good. Yeah, we're going to need for things to pick up. There's no real story to these shows outside the bloodline. We're going to need to fix that stat. I get where you guys are coming from. Trust me. You're talking to the guy who pushes story after story after story. Teardrop with a $4.99. JD, what's up, brother? You are the GOAT. Off topic, but would love to hear your WCW-WWE invasion storyline of matches. Wanted your great mind. I don't know in what manner you want me to talk about WCW and WWE, Teardrop. The first thought that comes to my mind is that they botched it. How could you have a WCW invasion when all the big names over in WCW didn't defect over? Stu Sexton with 50 months in the venue. Oh, my goodness. 50 months in the venue, and it only gets better. Thank you for all the hard work and dedication you put into everything you provide us. OTS for life. Stu, thank you, brother. Just as you guys know, man, little freebie for you, a little news and note here going on in the shadows. Deviate is working on more work. New intro, new outro. Complete Dark Horse integration is now in full effect. Oh, yeah. And that's only project 2 of 3. We got another one coming up at the end of the year, too, man. Oh, my goodness. Adam Casper with the $10 Super Chat. Any thoughts about SmackDown moving to USA Network on Friday, September 13th, and Raw staying on USA Network for the rest of the year? It's smart. SmackDown's moving over to USA because Fox was going to only preempt them to FS1 because of college football. And WWE getting some bag to stay on USA Network for the rest of the year? Why not? Why not? Kylan M with a $4.99. Dave said again today that it's still Cody versus Rock at WrestleMania 41. If that's true, who do you see as Cody's SummerSlam opponent? I think Dave is wrong on that one. They can't wait till WrestleMania for that. Ali with a $4.99. AJD just got back from the movies. I saw that movie Kingdom of Planet of the Apes. It was really good. Good job, Ali. Alex from Phoenix with a $9.99. I'd love for Titantron videos to make a comeback. They were a great part of the overall presentation during the Ruthless Aggression era. Not having them looks crazy. Or lazy, I should say. Not having them looks lazy. That's fine. Production is one of the best things that WWE's done since Vince left. Jason Barker with 21 months. What do you do with a shitty, corrupt boss that talks shit in front of heart-paying customers? Kick his fucking ass in. And Cal L with a $5 super just want to say, what's up, bro? TNT is must-see podcasting. Mustangs rule. You better fucking believe it, Kal-El. Guys, I'm getting out of here. You'll see me this weekend with some content on the channel. We'll give you some content. We'll get ready for a brand new week starting Monday. Until then, hopefully you guys have a great weekend. Follow me on social media at JD from NY206, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Cameo. Hit that subscribe button down below. Turn on the bell for notifications. Please hit that thumbs up. Strive for 1,000 likes right here on Off the Scripts. Until then, guys, I'll see you this weekend. And whatever else, man. Go check out the rest of the shit. Go check out TNT with the Sala Monster and JD. Tuesday Night Titans. I'll see you guys later.